Blog Talk Radio.
I believe we are live right now, and I apologize for the confusion. I gave my guest the wrong guest calling number. Good morning. This is Watcher Ruth, and you are listening right now to Here, There, and Everywhere, my program where we talk about the unthinkable, weird, the lunatic fringe, the things that you don't want to talk about but absolutely need to. It's August the 13th, it's 8:01 a.m., and it's a beautiful morning. Praise the Lord, we're here today, and I would like to introduce my good friend and one of the very honorable people that represent the Lyndon LaRouche Political Action Committee's policy founder, Dave Christie. He's a resident of the state of Washington. He's been a congressional candidate, and I would like to bring you on board, Mr. Christie.
Thanks, Dolores.
So, Mr. Christie, you're back from the Washington, D.C. Weeks of Action, so why don't you give me a little information about that and how it went?
Well, I think the place to start is what happened when we got back. We had 3 weeks in Washington, D.C., and this had come right on the tail end of the second Glass-Steagall bill introduced into the U.S. Senate. Now, keep in mind that many people said you'll never get a bill in the Senate. And obviously we had a bill in the House for some 3 years, which wasn't really going anywhere. And, of course, if you don't have a Senate bill, it's not really serious. So not only did we get a bill into the U.S. Senate, but we got two in. Now, just for the listeners who may not know, Glass-Steagall will is the first step in bankrupting Wall Street, which is absolutely critically needed right now. We're seeing what these guys' intention actually is with the case of Detroit, of the theft of the pensions there. This is actually in line with what we already saw over in Cyprus, which is the bail-in model. And I know Dolores had some questions around that. But Glass-Steagall will shut this operation down. It will shut down the criminal banking side of Wall Street, and basically that is what Wall Street has become. So we're going to shut that down, leave them and their speculation to survive on their own. They will not get government bailouts or this bail-in policy, no government backing for speculative activity on Wall Street. That is separated from our legitimate commercial banking system, which the government will back the deposits of this of the commercial banking system to, because the government sees it as a public good, and that's the only reason a government would ever insure the deposits of a bank. And therefore, what that does is it solidifies what Alexander Hamilton had in mind with the banking system, which is that a banking system should be used as a conduit to put the funds into the real economy, into the farming, into the manufacturing base, and so on. So that's what Glass-Steagall does, is it puts up a wall between the speculative banking operations and the legitimate banking operations, and ensures that the funds go into the real economy. So anyway, so coming back from Washington, D.C., we had led a three-week siege, basically, on the city, and that got the discussion going in such a way, got the discussion going around Glass-Steagall in such a way that it really did outflank the Wall Street crowd. So now they're in a catch-up game, They are directly contacting legislators from around the country at the state level. We have now 25 state legislatures which have introduced memorials that call on Congress to act on Glass-Steagall, the 25th state being California, which is obviously huge. And so they're directly, Wall Street is directly contacting state legislators, pressuring them to not move these bills forward in the House, in the state houses. And the top staff of the bank is contacting congressmen directly because we have 75 signers onto the House bill. And between the two bills in the U.S. Senate, we have 10 senators signed on. And then you have the CEOs directly, Jamie Dimon and company, who was the CEO of J.P. Morgan, but they're directly contacting top committee people in the Congress, in both the House and the Senate side. So they are putting full steam pressure to prevent Glass-Steagall from going through because this will wipe them out, which is our intention. We're gonna bankrupt these criminals, put them behind bars where they belong to prevent them from carrying on further operations as we've seen in Detroit. So anyway, so that's where we stand. We had the 3-week mobilization. We're now in a full-scale mobilization through the month of August, which is to hit the congressmen back in their districts and tell them to get back to D.C. In August. We're not waiting for them to get done with their vacation, which they intend to go back in September, but we want them back now and to get back there immediately, pass Glass-Steagall, and get rid of the other criminal, the one that's in the White House, Obama, throw him out. So that's where things stand.
Oh, that's an excellent summary. David, can you give me and my listeners a little bit of an explanation of what your role is on the policy committee?
Well,
on the LaRouche.
Yeah, exactly. He started the policy committee at the end of the 2012 congressional cycle. We had a number of us on the policy committee had actually run for U.S. Congress. I ran in the 9th district of Washington State, currently the seat held by Adam Smith, Congressman Adam Smith. Keisha Rogers had won her primary for U.S. Congress running as an old-style Democrat to impeach Obama. Save NASA, impeach Obama was her campaign slogan. Diane Sayre had run for Congress in New Jersey. Bill Roberts had taken 40% of the vote in the Democratic primary in the Detroit area. And then we had Rachel Brown, who had run against Barney Frank in 2010 and really shamed him, and I think was one of the key factors in him deciding not to run for re-election in 2012 after he was redistricted because he was so shamed for his role in the Dodd-Frank bill, which of course now we see has that bail-in policy. And then Michael Steger is currently in San Francisco. So that's a quick summary of the LaRouche PAC policy committee. But we were formed as a way to carry out a national mission because the nation is not going to be saved piecemeal, being separated into little region states and areas. We're going to be saved by a national policy, which is the first step of Glass-Steagall. And then the launching of really what Roosevelt did. We need to pull off a new deal again.
Mm-hmm. And that brings to mind, Mr. Christie, how can you tell my listeners how it is that you and I have come to know each other?
Well, Dolores is one of the brave souls who engaged in the fight to shut down, to stop Obama, which obviously we're seeing the full exposition of Obama's criminality with the NSA surveillance, the various police state measures that he's enacted, what we're seeing now with the drive towards war, the funding of the Al-Qaeda cannibals in Syria, as he did in Libya. So waging war without congressional authorization. So anyway, so we've run daily around the nation, set up tables to engage the public in not only the fight to get Obama out, but the fight to save the country with Glass-Steagall, to deal with this economic crisis as with Glass-Steagall as the first step, Hamilton's design for national banking as the second step, and then the physical economic recovery, beginning with NWAPA, a giant water project that we've revived from the 60s, which would immediately employ 10 million people. So that's how we met. It was out on the street organizing, and Dolores has come under heavy fire from neighbors and friends and so forth for backing this fight. I don't know if that's a good explanation there, but that's at least what I would give.
Yeah, well, I can tell you what, my listeners are very, very used to persecution. But the point is this, that it takes only one person, and that if you're looking to someone else to solve the problems, then you deserve the problems you get. Stand up and take a position. And even if you don't agree with everything that the Lyndon LaRouche Political Action Committee or other things may not be of interest to you, but certainly because of the implications of the financial impact, not only that what it could potentially have nationally, but already what it's going to have for the citizens of Detroit, citizens that for years were given this illusion of protection by the government, this illusion, this artificial world that there is a guarantee for them. And you and I both know that financial support was never going to be there, and that these globalists, including the Queen, the Saudi government, as is a whole other show we could get into. David knows more about the Queen than I do, so I don't know how that's possible, but it is. And that this is a paradigm for what they have in store for us. And it's an important thing that we all get together and organize and do. Speak to our representatives, and I know that David is right now on his way to speak to one of our representatives in Salem this morning right after this conversation. They are in their home state, and they are having town meetings right now. And it's a good time for them to find out that we do not support amnesty for lawbreakers. We want the Glass-Steagall Act passed, and we want Obama impeached because he is a criminal. He isn't even a citizen of this country, and it's frustrating that we are watching these types of things like these bail-ins happening, and people are totally unaware of what they are and how they impact us. And I was wondering then, could you kind of update us a little bit on what the disposition of the impeachment of Obama is?
Well, what LaRouche said yesterday in a discussion with the policy committee is that it would be his backers that would actually dump him. And I think there was an interesting signal piece in the Telegraph, which went into the idea of Obama, that if you're looking for leadership coming from America, don't look to Obama. That was the essential theme of this article in the London Telegraph. And what they cited was Obama's declaration about a year ago that the war on terror, that, you know, the he had won the war on terror as a way to justify all of what we're seeing around the increased police state surveillance and so on. But of course, we just had, as the article cites, we just had 19 embassies closed over the weekend. The Iraqis have claimed, I forget exactly who it was, but a top official in the Iraqi government stepping out and saying that we're now at 2005 levels for terrorism inside of Iraq, some 1,000 people killed in the month of July alone. And so, and he directly blames the governments of Saudi Arabia and Qatar, which, of course, we know that people like Prince Bandar is directly organizing the overthrow of the Assad government in Syria. Now, just one other element of that is that the former deputy assistant, I believe it was, of the CIA, had just came out with a statement after he was fired by John Brennan, where he made the point that if the Assad government is overthrown, then the chemical weapons are going to get into the hands of Al-Qaeda. And, of course, this is not an unknown reality for those that actually know what's going on, and the fact that Obama has directly financed, the Obama administration and so forth, has directly financed these Al-Qaeda lunatics throughout Northern Africa and into Syria, but that the reason for that is not really to do anything with Syria or obviously Iran, which seems to be, which is on the radar screen for war as well, but that Iran and Syria are really part of a larger war that is ultimately being directed at Russia and China. And as you cited, this globalist crowd, the Queen, the European monarchies, these international one world government, new world order, whatever people call it, this is the old British Empire, and their game is nothing less than global domination. And this war is ultimately being vectored to shut down Russia and China. So what you have now is the reality that due to the dangers of the situation and the fact that there is a fight going against Obama that we have led, but others within the institutions also realize that we are on the edge of World War III. People like Dempsey, who has really fought against the Syria policy as the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, has fought against Obama on the Syria policy, but there's a growing move to dump Obama. Now, the British will ultimately be the ones to dump him, as LaRouche said yesterday, because they want to control the situation. They want to make sure that as Obama goes, as the buildup for the mood to get Obama out builds, that they're in control of the situation. So what we've got to do immediately is get him out on our terms. And our terms are that we bankrupt Wall Street with Glass-Steagall. We shut down this international financial cabal out of really centered in London. It's Wall Street's just an appendage of this global financial cartel centered out of London.
Mm-hmm.
We bankrupt them, and we launch the kind of economic development policy that is needed, which includes Detroit as the former arsenal of democracy. They should be playing a central role as the machine tool, the output of putting out the machine tools and the heavy machinery and so forth for the economic expansion of the United States, instead of being thrown to the scrap heap. You know, Detroit has lost almost 90% of its industrial jobs, going from 327,000, basically at the beginning of the decade or the beginning of the century or at this new century, to now 27,000 jobs. 327,000 to 27,000. That is just a stunning loss of industrial capability, and that's what we're going to revive. So we want to dump Obama, but do it on our terms.
Yeah, the Queen and the Saudi government together. that's just another whole show, I think, Mr. Christie. Can you tell me a little bit about what your thoughts are about the information that's coming out that there were ground air missiles that got into the hands of the government, the rebel government in Syria, not the Assads, but of course the cannibals that are over there, and how those may be used over there in this situation?
Well, I think the place to start is actually 1999, when Tony Blair enunciated the policy of the Queen. He is the man who saved the monarchy, because after the death of Princess Diana, there were calls to get rid of this insane concept of having a monarchy. They knew that the Queen and Prince Philip and so forth had played a role in the assassination of Diana, and so there was a call to get them out, and Tony Blair stepped in and became the man who was known as to save the monarchy. So what Blair announced in 1999 was a policy of what he called the end of the Age of Westphalia. And the Treaty of Westphalia was what ended the religious warfare from 1618 to 1648, the so-called 30 years religious warfare. And it ended that warfare on the idea of the advantage of the other, that though we might have our religious differences, though we might have cultural differences, ultimately the foundation of peace was that my advantage was based on your advantage. And this really became the foundation of the modern nation state, somewhat of a do unto others as you would have done unto you, a sort of a Christian principle, but also one that's universal in all religions. And so when Blair enunciated that, that began the policy that we've now seen of the breakup of the sovereign nation state. And they want to impose this, the destruction of sovereignty of all nations. And this is what we've seen over the last decade in the Middle East. And what you're seeing now within Syria is the people like Prince Bandar of Saudi Arabia, he's directly organizing. He's currently the head of intelligence there. But he's directly organizing these cannibal killers, which are not, they're not Syrian. These are not Syrian citizens. There's maybe a handful of them, but these are largely foreign fighters financed to the hilt to go in and to destroy the nation of Syria, to break up, which of course is what these dark age jihadis actually want. They want to get rid of the sovereign nation state too, except for they have designs of their crazy, you know, not even Islam. It's somewhat of a more of a dark age cult than it is a religion. So anyway, but that's their agenda. And so this is what we're seeing, is they want to get into the domain of heavy weapons, which is what Bandar has organized. In fact, he just got back from Russia trying to organize the Russian government to support the overthrow of Assad in exchange for a bribery or a deal, a weapons deal with Saudi Arabia. So, but Russia's not going along with this because they know that this is part of a bigger push to World War III. And that is ultimately what the monarchy and so forth wants, is population reduction. That's their stated policy. That's what's behind the bail-in concept of, you know, what we're seeing in Detroit, what we saw in Cyprus. That's what's behind the financial, you know, economic collapse, the austerity, is population reduction. Whether they do it through war, economic chaos, Obamacare, that is their intention.
Do you think that they have already had, through the Trilateral Commission, the Council on Foreign Relations, and the Bilderbergs, have already selected another candidate to come in behind Obama?
Well, no doubt they have Plan B, C, D, E, and F, you know, already in mind. But the point is, whatever promises that Wall Street and London and this crowd wants to make, they don't have the money to back up their promises of wealth and so on. So anybody that gets suckered into their promises, they've got nothing to pay with. They, all that Wall Street has done is expand the promissory notes while collapsing the very means of an ability to back up those notes. You know, in other words, the physical economy is collapsing at breakneck speed while they continue to print up worthless financial paper that is supposed to be backed up by some aspect of the real economy, but it doesn't exist because they're collapsing it. That's why they're going for the theft of the pensions. That's why they're going for the bail-in model of Dodd-Frank, this Cyprus template, which we saw enacted there, where they're just going to steal the deposits, steal the pensions, because they've got nothing left. And they're going to take it out of the hide of the American people and take it out of the rest of the world's population. That's what this austerity represents. So anybody that thinks that they're in cahoots, you know, that they're going to be in for the plan B or the plan C or whatever, they should be disillusioned no longer. There's nothing that Wall Street and London have to back up their plans. They're bankrupt, and we want to bankrupt them for real with Glass-Steagall. They can get real jobs.
Boy, isn't that so true. And as Mr. Christie and I were briefly discussing last night, calling into your representatives, they have statistics, you know, that they keep for every phone call that goes into to either a senator or a congressman. So while the Congress and the Senate are in their home states, I would encourage each and every one of you to figure out some time where you can let them know what your thoughts are. And we have just a couple of minutes left now, Mr. Christie. Are there any concluding thoughts you would like to express to my listeners today? And I would love to invite you back again, and I'm sure you will. But what are your closing thoughts today on what our situation is in the nation?
Well, I think we have to look at the case of Detroit, where these pension people who are going to have these pensions stolen from them, you know, what does that mean for somebody who's in their 70s to have their pension robbed? You know, what does it mean to be in your 70s under Obamacare and knowing that you're not going to get the kind of treatment that you need? Well, you know, what does it mean to be a firefighter in Detroit trying to raise a family on $14 an hour, where you literally they qualify for food stamps? You know, our people are being destroyed by this Wall Street agenda, which is part of this larger agenda of these European monarchs and so on that have a design of depopulation. You know, this is what they intend, and we have to take the people of the United States into our hearts and say, we're not going to let this happen. We're going to bankrupt Wall Street. So that means whatever people in this month of August, which is crucial, get to your town hall meeting, light a fire under their can and get them back to D.C. And that's what we do with Glass-Steagall, is shut these guys down and defend the American population.
David, thank you so much for tuning in today. Thank you for listening. Hope you tune in tomorrow. All right.
Thank you.
We are off.
Okay.